Welcome, everybody, to episode 342 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, January 9th, 2019, the first episode of the year, the new year, shall we say. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by John James, my favorite little elf, Jacoby.
Oh, and, that's adorable.
How are you doing there, sir? How's your holidays?
Holidays were good, pretty low-key. They were kind of chilled out. What about you?
Mine were wonderful. I stayed off Twitter a good bit. I ignored anything that has to do with blocks. I ignored Gutenberg, ignored WordPress. It was great. We nailed Christmas dinner last year. I mean, me and my wife were impressed. We nailed the prime rib and the vegetables, and everything came out like a five-star meal and topped it off with some champagne. So it was an excellent Christmas day for us. The weather here has been wonky, of course.
You know,
we had severe weather yesterday, and it's snowing today. I mean, I guess that's what it's like in Ohio.
It was 50 degrees here, and it's 18, I think, here now. 17. So we went from 50 to 18 in a day, overnight.
New Year's was okay. Started off the year sick. Me and my wife were both sick, and apparently after tweeted out about starting year sick. It turns out a lot of people started off the new year under the weather. So we've got that going for us, but I'm just not at the tail end of that. And, you know, I kind of don't mind getting sick at the beginning of the year because usually that's it. I'm done for the rest of the year. Yeah. Most of the time. You know, God forbid I start going on airplanes again this year.
Maybe. Maybe you should. It's been a while. When was the last time you flew?
I don't know, a year or two ago. Well, definitely not last year.
That's right. Not last year. Maybe right. This year. Maybe we'll see a WordCamp Europe.
No, absolutely not. No. Oh. If I need a visa, I ain't going. So. Oh, that includes Canada. So we have a lot to get to if we decide to get to it, because between
we should
last
get
show
it.
And now,
yes.
There's a lot of things that have been going on. I apologize if my voice is a little weird or you hear me trying to clear my throat. It's after effects of the cold, so please bear with me. The first thing I want to get to is WordPress 5.0.3, a maintenance release that was published today, not too long before the beginning of this show. This release is a maintenance release. It has 36 bug fixes, 7 performance updates. Of course, this update, along with who knows how many other point releases that are coming in the future, fine-tunes the new block editor and fixes some major bugs or regressions, and 15 block editor related bug fixes and improvements have been added to bundled themes. So you got to make sure to update those themes for the improved block editing experience. 2 of the block level editing improvements were related to internationalization. Users with JavaScript disabled now see a notice when attempting to use the block editor. I know that was something that was brought up a long time ago because everything is JavaScript-based with Gutenberg. A few PHP errors in the customizer have been fixed, and some of the issues uploading common file types like CSVs have been fixed. So this was a maintenance release. So your site has probably updated automatically, perhaps without you knowing. Hopefully everything went well. And prior to this, I think it was back, what was it? Looks like it was back in December. December 19th is when 5.0.2 was released. And that, of course, was a maintenance release. That actually included some major performance improvements. So there was performance gains of around 330% for a post that would have 200 blocks. Now, I got to admit, what kind of post do you think that is that would have 200 blocks?
Well, it's not about the post with 200 blocks as much as it ends up being about the goal for WordPress 5.1 of including more hierarchical block usage. So 5.0 itself.
Like nested blocks and child blocks with the nested blocks. And next thing you know, you've got 100 blocks.
Yeah, and so being able to test them with a regular post with some blocks in it's one thing, but it needs to be able to perform well when you have dozens or potentially hundreds of blocks. So, but this is like a common issue with anything. I don't care if it's posts on a page or comments down below or forum threads or topics or replies or anything else. But when you get into having hundreds of things on a page, things all start to work pretty slow and poorly anyways. Who's gone into WP admin and changed the posts per page that you see in posts or pages or in a list table to something like 100 or 200 posts? Your browser doesn't even like seeing that many lists in the table. So, you know, it's nice to see that little bit of performance improvement going in there, because it means they found something that was not working as efficiently as it could have or should have been, and it's no longer a problem.
And with these point releases, with each one, Gutenberg and the editor experience is getting a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So we all have that to be thankful of. Mm-hmm. There's some big news this week, a little bit more current here, is that GitHub has announced free unlimited private repositories. So GitHub users will no longer have to pay to keep code private. The company is offering private repositories to free account users with up to 3 collaborators. Now, I guess this used to be $7 a month, so people used to pay for this. And it's also a feature that I believe Bitbucket and GitLab were offering for free. So now this move puts GitHub right there along with their competitors. And we've been seeing, I've read some feedback where Bitbucket and GitLab users are now going to transfer their code back over to GitHub. And there's also a lot of GitHub pro account users who are downgrading to the free account so that they can take advantage of these private repos. However, Microsoft acquired a company for $7.5 billion last year, which has raised, you know, some concerns with those hosting private code on GitHub, that, you know, Microsoft would have full access to be able to at least view what is in those private repos. John, what do you take of this news?
Did you see my tweet about it? Is that why you're putting me in the hot seat a little bit?
It's a general concern expressed by a lot of other people. And it's also something that is preventing probably a handful of people out there, that why would you put private code on GitHub and let Microsoft have that kind of access to it?
And for the most part, I don't personally. I have my own hosted GitLab so that the things that I want that are important to me belong there. And I think I'm in that minority where that is a thing that I choose to prioritize in my own life for my own private code related things that I think I don't want other people to look for or look at. Or I don't even want to be able to accidentally screw up and put in a repo that was private on GitHub that I turn into public or something else, right? Like, it's just nicer to have that kind of those important things, keys, salts, passwords, whatever you're doing or having in there, to put them in a place where they're a little bit under your own control. And the counter argument there is, are you really responsible enough to host and run and manage your own thing? And wouldn't it be better to trust Microsoft or somebody else with it? There's arguments both ways. I had tweeted somewhat tongue in cheek that it is very openly generous for a company like Microsoft to give users private repos, and people will take advantage of them, and there will probably not be any problems with it. But it's the same argument that we have with Facebook or Twitter or anything else, where if something is free, then you are the product. And so a free private repo is private to the world, but it is not private to Microsoft. And I think it's important that people keep that in mind. Your private messages on Facebook are private to users, but they are not private to Facebook. They are everything that you do on Instagram or Snapchat and GitHub now.
I mean, if you put something on the internet, I don't think you could say it's private.
That's right. There's that too. I agree with that also.
No matter what you do. Now, Sarah Gooding has this excellent quote by GitLab CEO who says that at GitLab, we think that repositories will become a commodity. I think Microsoft will try to generate more revenue with people using Azure more instead of paying for repos. We're focusing on making a single application for the entire DevOps lifecycle that can replace a lot of other tools, end quote. So it comes down to consolidation of these tools. I think GitLab was trying to do the same thing, you know, trying to take care of the entire DevOps lifecycle.
And GitLab is the one that we've talked about on the show the most, particularly because of Matt Mullenweg being on the board over there and helping them out and advising with things and his experience with WordPress and other projects. So we talk about GitLab a lot, and I've made it pretty open that I am a huge fan of GitLab and the way that they do things and the how they do software releases, the way that they're able to build things as quickly as they are. And so I really like GitLab a lot. That their piece of software has evolved much more quickly and in different ways than something like WordPress has. And it's one of those things that I guess I would be a little bit envious of, because they've been able to put features in quickly or take features out that failed or pivot features that maybe weren't as well received as they had expected them to be. Everything from their own task runners, their own versions of test suites, and it's just neat to see them build and continue building tools into GitLab to make it be kind of the one-stop shop for building software without having to subscribe to multiple services all at the same time. You know, while everyone else's TVs are going out of a cart and you have to pay everyone $10 or $15 a month, GitLab is ahead of the game a little bit and trying to go the opposite way and make sure that the software that they're providing or that you install on your Droplet or your Linode or your local machine or server, what have you, is all that you'll need. It's nice to have that.
I think this move is easily be doable by them because of that $7.5 billion acquisition by Microsoft. And it appears as though they're going to be putting in a lot more effort to their enterprise offering, where they've combined their business cloud and enterprise products. And those are starts at about $21 per user per month. So I think with the sort of the backing of Microsoft, they can, you know, they could provide this kind of offering for their free users. But now I think it frees them up to be able to focus on the enterprise.
Yeah, Amazon and others have been doing this already for a long time. And so, but just on the opposite end of the spectrum. And so it's interesting to see how what Microsoft's long-term plan ends up being for GitHub. With Azure is one part of it. But Microsoft, on the enterprise side of it, offers a whole suite of other services that don't necessarily integrate or overlap with GitHub yet. So there's a lot to look forward to. With
remember SourceForge and Tarballs and what you had to do with those. And look how this sort of code hosting industry has sort of come about. Now, are those the top three? Bitbucket, GitLab, and GitHub? Those are the top three?
I guess
in terms
so.
Of code repo hosting type services.
I would guess so. Like Beanstalk used to be one. I don't know how popular that is anymore. And frankly, I've been using GitHub and GitLab together for so long, and then really just Subversion with WordPress core and plugins and themes. I'm not really sure what else is out there that people use these days, but I am quite satisfied both by GitHub and GitLab, and frankly also don't really dislike Subversion as much as I think other people do too. I don't mind Track and Subversion. I think they're both fine. So
there you have a bit of news there for GitHub. And a little bit into the future here. WordPress 5.1 will replace blogging references with publishing.
I saw that too.
So WordPress 5.1. There's some language in there. For example, in the wp-config-sample.php file, there's text that says, "That's all. Stop editing. Happy blogging." Mm-hmm. Well, it would be replaced with "Happy publishing." And there are other parts of WordPress core where the blogging word terminology has been replaced with publishing. And Gary Pendergast, friend of the show, he's quoted as saying, "As of this commit, WordPress is no longer a simple blogging platform. It's now a comprehensive publishing solution," end quote. And I laugh because I could just hear him smirking. If you know Gary and you've listened to him on the show, it's exactly something he would say for this type of commit. And, you know, to be honest, I a lot of people are sort of applauding this. And if it gets WordPress, again, a little bit further beyond the stigma that it's just a blogging platform, that it's just used for blogging, then the more the merrier. I think this is low-hanging fruit that should have been cut from the tree and dealt with a long time ago, but it's being dealt with now and for 5.1. So there we are.
And, you know, Jeremy Felt, a multi-site component maintainer, core contributor for a really long time. I saw him tweet that he was forking and going to create BlogPress because he wants to keep it a blogging platform and not a publishing platform. Just saying.
Just
all these changes like this are controversial, Jeff. You can't just go changing words like that.
I think it's a good change. I mean, switching from blogging to publishing now, it makes more sense to me.
I think it does too.
So come on, man. Why did you have to bring that up, man? I'm just gonna facepalm on the show. Can I do audio? There we go. That was a facepalm. All right, so let's talk a little bit about on the controversial side, and that is that the WordPress governance project has been flagged as unsanctioned, but the first meeting is now set for January 15th. So Sarah Green wrote about this on the Tavern, and the governance project was something that Morten Rand Hendrickson and Rachel Cherry brought up and mentioned around the time of WordCamp US. In fact, Morten did a presentation on why the WordPress governance project exists. And he says that, you know, WordPress must claim their seats at the tables of power. Mm-hmm. The purpose of the project comes down to two things, the governance of the WordPress open source project and its various community components, and WordPress's role in the governance of the open web, including representation and forums where decisions about the web platform and internet are made. Unfortunately, what seems to have happened is that number two has been way overshadowed by number one. Mm-hmm. And I think that's completely the opposite of what Rachel and Morten are trying to accomplish, is that really, I think it comes down to, you know, how do we get WordPress representation at these big time meetings that affect the web as a whole, where maybe WordPress is not there. I mean, we say the top third 10 million most popular websites online. You know, WordPress powers a lot of sites online, and that's a lot of power, a lot of responsibility, a lot of change that WordPress can affect across the web. But there are even larger initiatives out there, like the Wild Web Consortium and standards bodies and things like that, that, you know, WordPress probably isn't there. There's no one from WordPress or someone representing WordPress at those discussions, which I think is what this project comes down to. But a lot of people focused on the leadership aspects of the WordPress open source project and how maybe creating a governing body that would include a better way of representing viewpoints from all different types of segments of the population, from the user base, and, you know, possibly usurping Matt Mulloway as the single benevolent dictator for life sort of project lead, and instead having more of a democratic approach or committee, maybe designed by committee type approach. What it came down to is that basically the project, it was going to have its own make blog post. It was going to seem official. It's going to have a channel in the WordPress Slack instance. All of that has been taken away. A lot of people were kind of up in arms about it. They think it's a bad thing. Like, well, you know, this is Matt's sort of answer to not wanting to be transparent. I don't think it's that at all. I think it's just wholly unfortunate that the whole bit about WordPress leadership overshadows what could have been a great project. I shouldn't say could have been, because they haven't even had their first meeting yet. But I would have, as Sarah suggests in the post, I think it would have been advantageous to not even mention WordPress's leadership and just focus on the other aspect of the project. And then at a later point, maybe as a side dish, you know, some of that could have been looked upon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's we talked about it on the show, I think, the last time that we talked, because we talked about having Morten and Rachel on the show. But it doesn't look good when a when a proposal like that gets momentum and then the momentum is kind of just squashed. Whether or not they should or shouldn't have included WordPress core leadership in the charge, I don't know. Like, John Blackburn and other people have been open and vocal for a year or two now about being unhappy with the state of WordPress core leadership as a whole. And so it's an important issue and one that I think involves governance. And so not including it would have been potentially a mistake also. It's not often that these kind of things happen, but when it does happen, it doesn't, I can see why it doesn't sit well. And I know why it doesn't sit well. And, I don't know, you know, how important is it for Matt or someone else to chime in? I don't really know. And how, who's to stop people from continuing, right? I mean, if Morten and Rachel think that this is important, they can continue unsanctioned and see if it turns into something or put those efforts, you know, towards the same thing, but on their own terms now, which is
exactly what they're doing, because now the project has its own dedicated website. You can find it at wpgovernance.com. And they also have their own Slack instance at twgp.slack.com. And their first meeting is set for, or was set for January 8th, but has been postponed to January 15th, 1600 UTC, which will allow people to transfer over and sign up to the new Slack workspace. So despite what's happened here as far as becoming sort of an official project, they're going to continue on. And it's cool because I think this needs to be explored. I mean, at the very least, let's see where it goes. Let's see what we find out.
So I had a conversation with Josepha, probably would have been the beginning of the year, January 2nd ish or so, not about the governance project specifically, but mostly kind of just as a recap of like how onboarding and, you know, community team leadership has changed since I was more involved with it years ago. And she gave me a really kind of accidentally deep education about how, like what her approach and leadership style is to things. And I know that she had talked about turning that into some more public documentation, because I was like, wow, this is really comprehensive and really helpful to see how she not only like how decisions are made, but how leaders are sort of brought up within the teams. And if there is no consensus, how does a stalemate on a decision get solved? And she has methods for all of those things. And so the governance project is a relatively kind of a separate, bigger issue, but in terms of core leadership and governance, or you know, kind of under whose authority are decisions being made and with what information and what have you. I know Josepha has some good ideas there that hopefully we talk about on a future episode a little bit more in depth, because when she was kind of explaining it to me, I thought that it's valuable for other teams to maybe use, or for us to use with BuddyPress and BBPress, or other WordPress plugins or companies or groups or whatever else. So, and then when it comes to like the having a seat at the table for bigger things that are going on or happening across the web, realistically, a lot of the times people just go, right? Like there are forum conferences that people from PHPBB and vBulletin and Vanilla Forums and Discourse, like there is a forum conference. I have yet to go to them, but I haven't tried. I haven't asked. I could go and represent BBPress as a project. I would love if anyone else that was involved in BB Press would go and represent the project also, right?
I can picture it right now. I'm tuned into C-SPAN, and there's John sitting there in a suit with his glasses, and he goes, "My name is John James Jacoby. I'm a core contributor lead developer of BB Press. I represent them. I'll answer your questions now, please." as you sip a glass of water.
No, it's not like that. It's
okay. Not like that.
I don't think it's like that. Maybe it is like that, but I don't think that it's like that. Very funny though. But it, you know, it, if someone wanted to
question it, go pass.
So, how do you what is your opinion on custom database tables? Pass. But long story short, is if someone was interested, and I think Matt had even answered this as a question at State of the Word last year, was if someone was interested in representing WordPress in some capacity at one of these types of meetings or conferences or whatever else.
I don't think you need his blessing.
I don't think so either.
I think what a lot of people think you do, that you need to have someone in this role, you get Matt's blessing, and that person is the person that represents some section, some important thing of WordPress.
Yep. I mean, I've always considered it polite, if not maybe the right thing to do, to bring up the issue and go, "Hey, I'm thinking of going to this thing. What is everyone's comfort level with me representing our team, this project, whatever, in this place?" I think that is the right thing to do anyways. If I was going to go someplace and represent the village board, if I was going to go someplace and represent a founder of our computer club, I would say, "Hey, I'm going to this thing. Is that cool?" And if anyone objects, then we talk about it. But if I get anything from sign off to crickets, I'm just going to go and going to do it. So that's part of being part of the team, right? So
then a day later, they're doing a press conference with the co-lead contributor of BB Press, and he says, "His viewpoints do not present mine." Now we've got a controversy.
Oh, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, there are some people that I'm friends with or that are in the WordPress community that I really do look up to for their ability to not need to censor themselves. Look at Andrew Norcross. I look at a bunch of other people and think, like, I really wish that I could be like that out
in
the world.
They don't get in trouble for being themselves.
That's right. And I guess I've just never been that 100% comfortable in my own skin or with myself to be that open about everything that is on my mind half the time. But, you know, I hope to never need to put the disclaimer out there that, like, my opinions and views do not necessarily represent that of the projects that I represent or my employer, right? Like, I feel like that's obvious, but maybe it isn't.
No, I don't. Going back a little bit to WordPress's leadership, and we've talked about this God knows how many times on the show. Mm-hmm. I think we even talked to Matt about it when he was on the show.
We did briefly.
There, you know, and some people have asked me, what do you think about the governance project? And we talked a little bit about this last time. I want to reemphasize this, that the governance to me, the first thing I think of is more red tape. I think of getting more people in certain places. To me, I think of creating more bottlenecks or bottleneck opportunities. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. WordPress, it already seems like it's difficult enough to get things done, to get things passed, to get things to millions of people out there, that if we introduce a governance project where we have debates on pull requests or features, and I don't even know if this is how it would all come down, but I think of, like, the way things are done in government, what would be applied to the WordPress open source project, and there'd be committees and we'd have to vote for people. I'd get on board and then I'd get bribed with steak dinners to get certain pull requests in the core, which, hey, you know.
And that would work, I think.
It would work. There are many things I'm capable of doing if a good steak dinner is involved. you know, and maybe the governance project is nothing about what I'm thinking it would be. And I'm hoping, you know, maybe that this experimental process we'll see on what it could be or, you know, how it could play out. But I personally, I don't take a huge amount of issue with the way WordPress or Matt Mullowick has led the WordPress project up to this point. I think there's a lot of evidence that proves that he's he's done a good enough job to get WordPress to this point. Mm-hmm. I think that within the Gutenberg era, within the past 2 years, I mean, there have been a lot of questionable things, like decisions that were made. I think there has to be improvement on explicitly defining or being concise as to who we is when decisions are made, perhaps behind the scenes in a back channel, what have you, but publicly when there's a decision that's made. Who is the we? I think that was a great question that was both asked and answered at the WordPress mm-hmm. State of the Word. And I don't really see, to me, I don't have a lot invested in WordPress. I mean, the tavern runs on WordPress. My personal site is on .com. I'm not super tied to, I don't have a huge issue with the way WordPress project has been leaded, but I know that within the past 2 years, it's been led in a way that has caused some people to disagree with it to the point of, well, mm-hmm. if I can't do anything about the leadership, then what's the next best thing? Fork the project.
Mm-hmm. And that is an option that is available that everyone should explore.
And that is not a bad option. Right?
It's not a bad option. But the thing about leadership is that if it's going your way, you aren't going to have any problems with it, right? Like, especially if you're casually or like, you know, even professionally involved, like you are, Jeff, but still not deep in it on a day-to-day kind of thing. But when you know, open source software development is a unique kind of thing. One, because it is not that much different than any other volunteer type role that anyone might be in at literally any place in the world where anyone has ever volunteered before. But even in those instances, there is usually a manager, there's usually a team, or there's a board, there are people that are making the decisions on the direction that the volunteers are supposed to go, or someone who's doing all of the air traffic controlling to say what it is that all the volunteers are supposed to be working on at any given time or on any given day. And on the web and on with each other with WordPress, since we're all working through Slack or on GitHub with Gutenberg or on Track, sometimes you don't always know who's responsible or under whose authority the direction of a thing goes, or you end up with some middle managers that are component maintainers that think that something should go one direction, but then Matt thinks it should go a different direction, or it's a little bit more complicated than it usually is out in the real world at a company or a job or any other place where you've got tons of volunteers. So I think most of the time people are not unhappy because there is no conflict. But once there is conflict and once you want something to happen, or once people feel like Gutenberg isn't ready, or once people feel like the feature that they want or that they believe is ready or right for all of WordPress core users and community members to see and be a part of, and someone disagrees, then there is conflict. And so that's one of the things that maybe is a priority or should be a priority for us, is just conflict resolution. How do we deal with it? And I think that that's one of the things that Josepha has a lot of experience with and ideas on, that maybe we can have her on the show or talk about in a future episode. Because right now, the way we resolve conflicts is usually just by shouting onto Twitter, right? So maybe we should try and resolve conflicts a different way.
So I want to read this quote. Speaking of leadership, I think it's important, and I think it possibly opens your eyes and at least allows you to know that Matt is not set in his ways. And he talked about leadership on the Post Status podcast episode, which was published somewhere around the time of WordCamp US. And he says, when asked more about WordPress's leadership structure, Mulenweg reviewed the different approaches he's taken with the project over the past few years. And he says, quote, "There's been a lot more leaders, but I would actually argue the point that WordPress has always been sort of my vision being set, or even my direct leadership," he said. And the quote continues, there was a good 4 or 5 years there where the leadership structure, because we've experimented with lots of different, well, we don't call it governance, but essentially leadership structures in WordPress. For a while, we had kind of the, it wasn't a committee approach, but essentially like the lead developer's consensus approach. And we did that for a few years. The quote continues, even from the beginning, it wasn't just me. It was me and Mike Little, so it's never been solo. Then we went to where the release lead was the final decider, including over me. So that was probably, I don't know, 3.9 to 4.7 maybe. That included overruling me as project lead for what was in the release or not. And that was to try to give a little more autonomy and flexibility to release leads. But the big change was a few years ago, I said, okay, I'm going to take back over core WordPress development. And that was to try to make some of these big changes happen. So right now it is much more of a benevolent dictator model, although both of those words are questionable, but I don't see that as the permanent forever structure, quote, and I'll end this quote. It continues on, but I'll end the quote here. He says, I'm not saying it always has to be me, but what I want is a strong, opinionated, thoughtful leader setting a bold direction, taking experiments and being willing to fail. Comfortable with failure is what I think what you need to create great software, end quote. And when you take those quotes combined, I think it's very encouraging that, you know, and it's sort of a reminder that WordPress's leadership has not always been set in one way, that it's not always been what Matt Sass goes. And he has been willing to set up ways where the release leads actually have the ability to overrule him, you know, and he's willing to experiment.
And he has been. We've talked about that. There is enough evidence to prove all of those things. So they're all true. But it is, when people aren't happy with the direction something's going, that's when there's conflict. And so, when the REST API was merged into WordPress core, that's the one example that Matt uses. Is he didn't think it was ready. He wanted to wait. But it was merged in and it's in, and we can look back on other things now and say, maybe that wasn't a good idea, but, the post formats or even the multi-site merge back in the day, there are things that, you know, you can look back on, but, I don't know.
I remember the core team saying, no, MP6, no, we're not putting that in. And Matt says, oh yes, we are.
That's right.
And he puts it in. Oh, and as it turns out, that was the right call.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was, I still really like the old, you know, I like the old stuff, but.
Yeah, of course you do. You know, you and your retro WordPress.
Retro press.
Right? Yeah, retro. Hey, now that could be a cool fork.
There you go.
Like, default theme, Kubrick.
I really thought it would be a cool plugin to have to bring the old styles back. The chunky dividers between the WordPress admin menu sections and stuff. I still have a screenshot I post for every once in a while of the old BB Press screen admin theme that I thought looked really nice.
But. A JavaScript REST API backend plugin that brings back the old styles and is more performant than what we have today.
It would be pretty cool.
Wouldn't that be something?
I've joked too with in the heyday of Buddy Press, the original Andy Peatling's original orange 3-column default theme is still really cool. It was still looks and feels pretty nice if you just install it out of the box. And so I don't know, man. There's something about it that it's not just the nostalgia of the theme. There are things to it that are nicer that are maybe not easy to communicate, but there's value to those things. So I think someone with more time and then should run with it, because I think it'd be cool.
Speaking of themes, just to get a little bit more nostalgic here, since we're talking about retro, but I remember One of the cool selling points of Joomla for me was that it came with a default theme called Solar Flare 2. And it had this banner at the top, but then right to the left of the banner, you had a menu, and then you had a column, and you had your content. And it looked like no other default themes I saw on other CMSs. And it was it was pretty cool.
That's the same with PHPBB. That was who was the original designer for SubSilver? Do you remember the SubSilver theme?
No, I remember SubSilver. I'll always know what SubSilver is.
Yep. Is it?
And it was so good. I don't need to replace it.
That's right. And I don't want to misattribute whoever the designer was for SubSilver, but I remember looking back at the decisions that were made and all the markup that was the choices that were made and the iconography for it and how important that was. And there was something very simple and yet still innovative about just the little design decisions that were made about stuff like that. And I miss that simplicity quite a bit. Everything that we're doing now just all seems very heavy and complicated. And I miss the simplicity a lot.
And when are we going to go back to the days of flat? Was it flat, simple colors?
So I was just talking about this. It has unrelated.
I thought we just went through that era where everything was flat.
It was unrelated to WordPress, but since you brought up MP6, and we haven't had a tangent on the show for a while. we haven't had a show for a while, but we haven't had a tangent either. Again, someone whose name I'm not great with names, and I could find it. We could put it in the show notes if it actually becomes an important thing. But there's an ex-Apple employee who posted a video on Twitter of an iPhone 10, and he had a big camera, like an external device that was attached to the front-facing camera of this iPhone 10. It's like a Jeff Forstall guy, but like an ex-Apple guy that left that was involved with iOS and the iPod and everything else. And so he used this giant lens on the front of the iPhone to detect ambient light, like around the phone in the room. And then the operating system, iOS, the app, would react to the ambient light in the room. And so the bevels, the shading, the shadows, the depth of field in the app would change based on the light that you would have around the phone itself. And I thought that was really clever because we're in a world right now of flat UI. And there was a study that somebody released the results of recently proving that flat UI is just not good for cognitive. It increases cognitive load. It makes you is more error prone. You make more mistakes in a flat UI. And someone went through and studied this and proved this. And so the next era or generation of interfaces that we're going to be interacting with will have some type of depth in them. And so the next version of WordPress admin, MP6 has been around for a number of years now. And so what does the next generation of WordPress admin or Gutenberg depth and layers and stuff like that look like? So I thought that video was interesting.
So we'll talk a little bit about something that starting off the new year, WordPress.com has launched a new Do Anything marketing campaign. Features 14 entrepreneurs, writers, and nonprofit organizations who are using the platform to make a big difference for their communities. And the campaign is focused around the question, what would you do if you could do anything? So WordPress.com, there's an article that they've published called Anything is Possible, where they list the people and they have these different 1 to 2 minute videos showcasing these people and their businesses, their entrepreneurs, and their stories. And I was watching them before the show. The production quality is top notch. I really enjoyed it. I think all of the videos were well done. And really, in the 1 to 2 minutes, of hearing these people's stories and seeing what they're doing and realizing that, you know, there's a site on WordPress.com to harness and foster community and purpose and a safe space and to get a lot of like-minded people involved in a project to take it further, to do great things in the world. All the videos were inspiring, enlightening, a lot of positive verbs here. I thought they were very well done. And there's a new, actually, 30-second WordPress commercial now that I think is produced by Interesting Development, which is an agency based in New York. And I think this commercial is way better than the one they did last year.
I agree.
I think there, you know, there's little tidbits here or there that I think could be improved, but this commercial I think is a huge step up from what we had last year, and I really want to see them continue to do anything series throughout the year because, I mean, it's just awesome to see people be able to accomplish this, and it sort of reminded me of, and I've talked about this before, of, you know, it is such a cool feeling to have a passion for something, and you create a website. And through comments and blog posts and sometimes forums, you gather a community of like-minded people and you start mm-hmm. to feel this feeling of camaraderie. Mm-hmm. And then you transfer that to the physical world where you actually have meetups and gatherings. And boy, you know, I miss the days where that feeling of community and empowerment and all that stuff through a website, it is a very special feeling that I hope – you know, everybody gets to a feel at least once in their digital mm-hmm. lives.
We're almost stuck in like an overload phase with that a little bit, where anyone really truly can create a meetup or a Facebook group, and there are so many that you don't really know which ones to trust anymore, or which community deserves your full attention or your commitment to that. And that was one of those first questions that when I was working on BuddyPress with Andy, that Matt had asked is, what do you do about all these community silos, all these BuddyPress sites? How do you know which one is the one you belong to? How do you bring them all together? What's the end goal? And so I'm not sure, right? Like it really is. I mean, you with the tavern or with WordPress or the BBs or whatever the thing is that you're into, where you start a group about something. I agree. There is not any other feeling like it, building something or creating something that other people that follow you or get behind. You feel supported, encouraged. That's a cool feeling. It's one of those feelings I wish that everyone, you know, got to experience also. But when it's so easy to do, it sort of takes away from that a little bit also. I don't know how you balance that. Or if it's possible to balance that, because everyone should be allowed to feel it, but everyone gets to feel it in their own way. Arguably, that's the nice thing about having the WordPress core community and contributorship branched off in as many groups as it is that they find pieces of WordPress that they think are important to them or more important than others. They pour their passion into it. And as a result, a different team or a community blossoms from those efforts or from that work. And so we've seen that happen with tons of different initiatives with WordPress core contributions. And so WordPress really is kind of all about that. It always was. And so I think the commercial, I agree, kind of did a good job of echoing that sentiment pretty well.
One of the comments I read about these videos, someone had said that, quote, "It's great to see so many people trying to make their own difference in the world. These people should be celebrated and their voices heard," end quote. Mm-hmm. And that's really one of the underlying missions of WordPress, not just .com, but even WordPress.org, the software of democratizing publishing, you know, mm-hmm. to get your voices heard no matter where you are in the world.
And, you know, we are kind of at a competitive time on the web right now where blogging is really just one way to communicate out into the world, or publishing. I'm sorry. Sorry, Gary. Publishing, yeah, publishing to the web is just one way of you could put videos on YouTube. You could stream to Twitch. You could have your own website. You could go post everything on Instagram. You could put stuff wherever you want. So the reason why you have your own website is maybe not always instantly clear why you would choose to do that instead of going into an ecosystem like Twitch or YouTube, where you can get immediate, instant live feedback on video in a chat room with like-minded people that are looking for the thing that you're talking about right away at the time. I mean, it really does It is like a super instant gratification up against a very long game approach to publishing on the web. It really is. It doesn't need to be that way, but it really does feel that way sometimes. It is right now accolades versus next year momentum. You know, it's interesting to see how the WordPress as a piece of software kind of competes or doesn't with that. And a commercial, I think, brings awareness to the long game of democratizing publishing in a way that other people might not otherwise see. So the commercials, even when the commercial was not so good originally, it was still good to see the commercial. So now it's good to see better commercials.
And by the way, the commercial will debut on TV, print, digital advertising spots in the New Yorker and on TV networks, including the History Channel, CNN, and National Geographic. WordPress.com will also be running ads on podcasts, including The Daily and NPR, not WordPress Weekly. So there you have it. So finally, you know, when I'm driving down the road and I'm listening to Sirius or a podcast or something, I don't just have to hear a Squarespace ad. I can actually hear perhaps a WordPress ad. That would be right. Kind of nice.
Yeah, it got me thinking of the did you see the results? Is it W3 Tech or whoever that posts like popular JavaScript frameworks, popular CMSs for 2018?
No.
And that the popularity of Wix and Squarespace helped bump up like Scala and Python, maybe something else. And I was like, oh, like in terms of languages that people are working with and prefer, that like platforms really do help drive a lot of the momentum there. And so PHP was a really big one for a long time. And WordPress is one of the most popular CMSs and has been for, I think, probably the past 10 years. But you see a little bit less PHP and you're starting to see more people branch static. Out into static sites and everything else. So
yeah, that just a great ad campaign. And by the way, yeah. I encourage our listeners to, you know, links to the videos will be published in the show notes, so you can definitely take a look at that. And they're very small, very quick to watch. The only other bit of news that's really on the top of my head that I think we should mention is that I believe site monitoring tool Pingdom, they've announced some major pricing changes that a lot of people have sort of been upset by. They're looking for alternatives out there. So I figured I'd throw it out there. I think a lot of people forget that Chatpak actually has a site monitoring tool built in, a module that works relatively well. So I'll throw that out there. And John, I don't know, you got any alternatives to Pingdom if somebody wants just something to notify them of when their site's down?
No, but this is something that is like, someone should build a better version of that. Maybe something that includes a cron WP cron support would be nice to be able to trigger WordPress cron remotely in addition to those kind of remote uptime checks and pings. But the other thing I was going to mention was the official VaultPress being really just baked in or like directly as a part of Jetpack now, like Jetpack backups and VaultPress sort of being officially sunsetted, and there being a blog post that I think got published a little early about whether or not people were supposed to have seen or known about that, but now it's like officially a real deal. And then there was the broken embargo specifically regarding future dated posts in WordPress using Gutenberg being the cause of GitHub needing to scramble to release their private repos for users a day earlier than they had planned on, because old school WordPress before pre-Gutenberg and now even in a post-Gutenberg era, if you go to schedule a post but you backdate it, it automatically just publishes it.
I've seen this mentioned on Twitter, and I'm like, oh,
yep. And so if you pick the wrong day, you pick yesterday instead of tomorrow, or you pick this morning instead of tomorrow morning, instead of the button saying schedule, it says publish, but you still hit publish and it'll just go straight to being live. And so whether or not there should be kind of a, you know, Gutenberg has the little pre-flight before when you hit publish, it says, are you sure you want to do this? And so that's another, probably a good place where that would be nice to set to have or see is, you know, you scheduled this post for ahead of time or you backdated it, but it's going to result in it being published immediately. Are you sure that's what you meant to do? Kind of things. And so, those were the only two things that I had seen come through is I always really liked Vault Press as a service. I thought that was one of Automattic's nicer looking products, the Vault Press website, the Vault Press UI for logging in, the dashboard, the admin, the service that Vault Press is and provides. But I think now it's Jetpack backups, right? Isn't that, you're making a face at me like I might be wrong, but I swear this is something that I read somewhere.
Well, I mean, I was just, I did Vault Press sunset it into Google, and the first thing that came up was on the Vault Press plugin support forum from 10 months ago, it says Automattic has discontinued Vault Press and wrote all the functionality into Jetpack.
Yeah. So somebody just last week had published or mentioned something that Vault Press was changing. Maybe not. Oh, maybe this is old news.
So at the time, Bo Lebens, who worked on a team, confirmed that it was not discontinued. However, I have been seeing that Vault Press is kind of being sunsetted and it's being turned into Jetpack backups.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been on the Vault Press official blog yet, but maybe they have a post there actually detailing.
I'm not trying to like let the cat out of the bag here or anything, but I swear this was a thing that I saw got posted and then I couldn't find again. So maybe should have reached out to somebody ahead of time, but I saw that out there and then couldn't find anything else about it. So, and I knew that it was been slowly getting rolled in over time, but so those were the only two things I thought to mention was the Vault Press Jetpack thing. And then the poor broken embargo, that poor WordPress user that future dated or backdated a post and got caught up in, and I forget who he wrote for. I'd have to go back and find. Cause
we feel your pain. In fact, I know you participated in the conversation on Twitter and you said, I'm sorry.
I feel bad. That's terrible, right? Like it sucks to, you know, every professional should feel comfortable trusting their tools. And so when the tool works against you, there's not much you can do about it. I mean, I don't care if you're 10 years old and you feel like the controller broke and you died in your favorite video game, or if you're 40 years old and you feel like WordPress is like violated the trust from you hitting publish and everything else. It never feels good when you feel like the tool that you're using to get something done has like worked against you.
In my 10 or so years or more of using WordPress, there have been many times where I cussed out WordPress and said, how dare you, you stupid people. Never mind.
Well, and that's, you know, his original tweet was, you know, WordPress sucks. And I don't think any of us should take that personally.
You do something in WordPress expecting it, like, because in your mind, common sense dictates it will do this, and then it does that, and now you're like, "Wow, is that stupid?"
That's right.
which in many cases, when I've been learning Gutenberg, is how I felt. Like, okay, if I click this, it should do that, but it does this. Okay, I'm either a moron or that's stupid,
or both.
I knew that. See, I set you up good. See? Thanks. Good. I'm glad you hit that one out of the park.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're starting a new year off pretty good here. So other than that, we've got 5.1 to look 5.1. Forward to.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we were talking a little bit before the show. I swear there was like white screen of death protection that was added to a previous version of WordPress, but you said that you had noticed it just went in today, fresh. Hot off the presses, literally.
That's right. Change set 44.5.24 for anyone else who's looking at home. Felix pushed it about an hour ago, give or take. And so this version of the fatal error recovery mechanism includes plugins and themes also. I think previously it was just core updates for the minor updates where if there was a fatal error encountered while Core was updating itself, that it would intelligently roll itself back. And so this is the evolution of that, including plugins and themes in that. So if you, or if anyone out there in the future tries to update a plugin and updating that plugin results in a fatal error, plugins, they were sandboxed for a while. Plugins were, so if you activated a plugin and it created a fatal error, it would show, it would tell you a little, there'd be an admin notice that said like, here's an error has occurred. If you had WP debug turned on, you could see the actual error output from that error. But so now this is just, this is fatal error recovery kind of across the board for all of it. So it's a big important
step. That's a huge change, a huge improvement, and as a huge quality of life improvement for so many people out there using WordPress, something that I'm sure many of us will think that why couldn't this have been in WordPress so long ago instead of having to see this white screen, and now you're left with, well, now you got to FTP into the site and try and get the site back to a point where you can click around in the back end. Hopefully that will be a thing of the past from 5.1 on into the future.
So I'm going to read the two important snippets from this change set that are from Felix directly that I think are most relevant for our listeners are that extensions are only paused in certain designated areas. The front end, for example, stays unaffected as it is impossible to know what pausing an extension would cause to be missing. So it might be preferable to clearly see that a website is temporarily not accessible instead. The fatal error recovery is especially important in scope of encouraging the switch to a maintained PHP version, as not necessarily every WordPress extension is compatible with all PHP versions. If problems occur now, non-technical site owners that do not have immediate access to the code base are not locked out of their site and can at least temporarily solve the problem quickly. And so that, in a nutshell, is a huge deal for everyone that has ever experienced any type of fatal error that's locked them out of the site. The goal for WordPress 5.1 is for that to no longer be an issue, which is a huge deal.
A round of applause for that commit and everybody involved.
Lots of time and work went into that. So, yeah, I agree. Kudos.
That's awesome stuff. So, unless you have anything else, sir, I think we should bid everyone an adios.
Nope, that's all I got.
All right, cool. Here we are in the midst of January, February, and March. In my opinion, the most boring months of the year, but not in WordPress land as work continues on refining Gutenberg. And we're getting emails now in and WP Tamer contact form of people letting us know about their blocks or transitioning their plugins into blocks. And hopefully throughout this year, I'm going to try and make a concerted effort to review these plugins, review these blocks, whether it's a long post, short post, it doesn't matter, but just kind of highlight these blocks and tell people what they do and say, hey, you know, maybe you want to check this out.
So WordPress 5.1 is coming quick too, and so having more blocks available for WordPress 5.1 is scheduled for this month still. I mean, it's a week or 9 or 10 days.
Oh, okay.
Beta's 19th, I think. So it's coming. So the more blocks that we can show off to the world, the better, I think.
Can we debate the release of 5.1? I think it's not going to work for, you know, a certain.
I'm not going to.
Okay. All right. So with all that said, that's going to do it for this week's episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find this and every other episode and the show notes on WPTavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter. Still, I haven't quit it yet. JEFFR0 and John.
JJJ.blog and GitHub and Twitter at JJJ.
All right, so we'll work on getting some guests on for either next week or the week after. Jill Bender, we got to figure out when we're going to have her on to talk about her work on inclusivity in the WordPress project. Got to get Morton on because I think we can have a very good conversation about what this governance project is all about. And I could just be proven wrong on my assumptions of what I think it is.
And Josepha. I want Josepha on this show.
And we can get Josepha on it. And I thought it was interesting how you brought her name up because – at the tail end of the in that period just before the sort of release date of WordPress 5.0, Matt had brought Josepha in, or maybe she was already in, but she sort of wrangled all of the team leads, and she was trying to get everybody on board and on the same page of leading all these different team leads and funneling them into the same direction. So there you go. I thought it was interesting you brought her up, and that was sort of her role there at the later stages of the WordPress 5.0 dev cycle. And I've had a chance to meet her a couple of times. Highly educated, very cool woman to speak to at WordCamp. She's very chill, and I encourage anybody who has the chance to meet her at a WordCamp.
Me too. Josepha's great.
And let's see. I guess stay safe, everybody. That's it. We'll talk to you again Wednesday afternoon. Say bye, John. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Bye, John. Bye, everybody.